This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, Almost Famous listeners. It's Ashley, and I am, you know, fresh off the plane from Ben's wedding. He is down in St. Bart's with Jess. So I have a special guest host today. His name is Peter Weber. Everybody welcome Peter Weber.
What's going on, everyone? It's good to be here on the podcast. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So of course we have a lot to talk about with Ben's wedding. It was beautiful. And our engineer Easton, he was there. So during Hot Topics, Easton and I will talk a little bit about, you know, the whole wedding day. But for right now, I want to catch up a little bit with Peter. Peter, the biggest, like, I feel like the most recent headline we have from you is the fact that you ran the New York City Marathon with a lot of other Bachelor alum.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, like, the listeners are like, Ashley, holy crap, are you really going to go into this again? I am mind boggled by anyone who's able to run a marathon. So please tell me about your preparation and how it felt on your body.
Oh boy. You mean lack thereof. I never thought I'd ever run a marathon, to be completely honest. My roommate, Dustin, he had done a New York City marathon the year prior, and he actually had run with Tyler and Matt, and he kind of brought me into this whole idea of running it this year with him. And so I couldn't say no, because it was for Achilles, which was a great organization, obviously raising a lot of money. So it was for a great cause. But I'm like, actually, I'm not a runner at all. Like, I'm not long distance. Like, I can sprint, but I'm not a runner. And to be completely honest, my preparation consisted of 1 6-mile run, like 3 weeks prior to this actual, I was an idiot with it. Like, I am so lucky that I did not get seriously injured from running 26.2 miles on a whim. And that's literally what happened. I mean, my legs, I'm still like not 100% recovered. My neck, my knees are still pretty sore. This is just over a week after. But I just gotta be honest, it was probably the most rewarding experience of my life. I truly mean that. And like, I'm super happy I did it. I want to do it again next year, obviously the right way, and prepare and actually try to get a decent time. It was electric though. The energy was incredible.
What was your time?
I got my medal here with it all engraved. It was 5:16:09, I believe.
I still find that unbelievably impressive. Now, hold up. Your entire training was 6 miles. A month before, was 6 miles the longest you'd ever run at one time?
Ever. And it wasn't even, it wasn't even 6 miles. I ran 3 miles down the east side here in Manhattan, down to the bridge, and stopped for about 10 minutes because I needed to catch my breath. So I didn't even go the full 6 without stopping. And then I ran the other 3 back home. And that was the full extent of, I needed to get that in to like at least have some type of confidence that I could run, you know, a decent amount of mileage.
You're like, yeah. But then multiply it by 3.
It was horrible because 6 miles than 3 isn't even technically a quarter.
Exactly.
Of a marathon.
Wait, it's not even a quarter, or it's not
26.
Even a third.
26.2.
26.2.
Even more, because yes, 26, not even a quarter technically. So.
6 times 4. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Okay, I have so many more questions. I mean, did you feel like the original marathon runner, like back in ancient Greece, like because he ran the 26 miles and then he just dropped dead? Is that how you felt?
I was very close to that. My friends all thought it'd be hilarious to show me. I don't know if you've seen the episode from How I Met Your Mother with Barney Simpson. I think it's Simpson. I haven't seen too many episodes.
But I know Barney, yeah.
There's an episode where he takes over the spot for Marshall, who got injured. And he's like, yeah, I could run a marathon with zero training. Literally what I was about to do the very next day. And he runs it, completes it, surprises everyone. And then I guess the next day it's like a delayed reaction and his legs don't work. And that was quite literally my exact experience with it as well. So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Wow. So did you run into any Bachelor alum along the way?
So I was in the slowest heat, I think, out of everyone. I started off with Dustin, my roommate, and then he shortly after we started kind of took off, you know, away from me. He finished like 50, 45 minutes before me. I know Tyler and Matt were running. They had left in a heat way before me. Zach and Tayshia, same thing. Joe as well. So I was like in one of the slowest heats. I mean, there was, I couldn't have kept up with anyone else if I wanted to. But next year I'm going to do the training. I'm not going to make excuses. And this lit a fire under my ass for sure. So I don't regret it.
I could ask you so many questions, like how much did you eat? How long did it take for you to be able to stand the next day? But I won't. I mean, this is not an a marathon podcast. So just one more question. How nervous were you before that? I don't know. Do they shoot off like one of those gun things? Like, I don't even know the amount of nerves must have been running through your body.
Honestly, it was an ignorance is bliss type scenario. Okay. I didn't know. Everyone kept trying to tell me that you don't know what you're getting yourself into. This is going to be the worst day of your life. Like, you're not going to be able to walk. You're not going to be able to finish. No one thought I was going to be able to finish it.
Yeah.
And I think I just, like, I was so ignorant that it really paid dividends for me because, like, I just, the entire time, I'm like, I'm going to finish it. Yeah, it's going to hurt like hell. But there was zero like doubt that I was going to finish it, even when the pain started coming. So I think actually it kind of worked out for me in a weird way.
Well, that's amazing. So impressive. So bravo. And can't wait to see what you get next year. Very, very
with some training. Yes, yes.
Anyway. Okay. Well, you know, it wouldn't be a bachelor podcast if I didn't ask a former bachelor who is currently single if he's dating. And you know, you get asked this all the time. So I'll let you answer the question and give me your nice little PR answer, because I'm sure it's very PR friendly.
Am I dating? I'm starting to date. I'm not like serious in a relationship, exclusive with anyone like that. But I, listen, what I've been telling everyone, this is, whether it's not PR, it's the truth. I really enjoyed this like 10, 11 months of just being single and like not worrying about a relationship. Like, cause I, for so long that was the biggest focus of my life. And obviously the show kind of made it that way. And mm-hmm. It's been so refreshing and such a great reset to just like not worry about that. And like, just literally worry about myself and work on myself and, you know, just do things I wanted to do and improve myself in as many ways as I could. And I've been enjoying New York like crazy. You know, I've had the time of my life, but I am definitely now to the point again where, and it's cool, cause like it's, I needed this to come like just organically and very naturally. I couldn't force it. Like, I do feel like I can kind of get back out there again and I'm ready to. And that's it. That's exciting for me to say.
What kind of date do you take a girl on a first date?
So for me, I know this sounds crazy coming from the show, but I am such like a simple dude. And like, yes, I love the adventure of life and I love living life to the fullest and all that stuff. But like on a first date, I truly am that guy that like, I like the simpler, the better, like no glitz, no glam, just like the two of you connecting in a very organic, non-pretentious way. Like that to me is everything and everything else can kind of come after that. But in my opinion, I can feel a spark, feel something from that kind of date. Literally just taking a blanket out to Central Park and just like chilling and enjoying the beautiful day and admiring the buildings and whatnot and just having great conversation. That is everything to me.
So is it a daytime date?
Oh, so we're getting into exact dates here. Oh, okay. This one that's in at the top of my mind. Yes, it involved a nice walk around the Kennedy Reservoir. I don't know if you've done that in Central Park, but it's one of my favorite places in the city.
So pretty.
Stunning.
All right. Well, sounds good. Things. Now to the question that I really want to ask, like, have you ever gone on a date with Julie LaPlaca, the producer of yours, who like everybody was speculating you were going to end your season with?
I know, literally everyone did. I love Julie. And the answer is no, that has not happened.
Why can't it happen? Can it happen?
Hey, I'm. You never say never. Honestly, Julie and I, we do. We get along very well. Obviously, you know, you get to know someone so well from spending every waking moment with them, right? From those 2-3 months of the show. I actually just saw her. She was at my book launch.
That's why I ask.
Oh,
I saw
there we
a
go.
Nice little picture of the two of you. Holding your new book.
Yep. No, she's great. Her and her family came out, showed a lot of support. We're very close. You know, both of our families are very close. And hey, you never know.
Smiling and kind of glowy, guys.
Oh, boy. Ah! Go, reading into it. No, I love Julie. I really do.
All right. Well, we can, we'll take were
you,
that.
Were you close to Julie?
She was, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say close, but we were friends for sure. You know what I mean?
Okay.
She wasn't, she wasn't on my side of things during my processes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I think so, she started to become more involved in the cast later on.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Okay, well, let's talk about Michelle's season in macro a little bit before we dive into the actual episode. Have you been watching?
I have. I am a huge fan of Michelle Young.
Same. The ratings aren't that great. We won't lie.
I don't understand it. It's stupid.
And it makes me feel sad because she's such a great bachelorette. She deserves the ratings.
Honestly, she's in this last episode. I mean, there were so many moments where I'm just like, wow. Like she's got her shit together. Like she's a freaking rock star. It's like, honestly, I'll say it, like, she's one of my favorite bachelorettes I think I've ever seen. Like, I would not have been mad at all. I've been very happy to have been on her season.
I know. Same. Do you feel like any of these guys are up to her level? Because I don't know if I feel like they are.
You know, it's a very valid point. I really like Brandon for her.
Brandon, okay.
Is Brandon or Brendan?
I'm always so bad with Brandon and Brendan's. I think this one's Brandon, and we had a Brendan, you know, last season.
Yes. He's honestly the one guy. I mean, I think obviously she's very into Nate, and that's like very, very obvious. Mm-hmm. And Nate, I like Nate. He still comes off though. Like, I kind of can see what the Chris guy was kind of like hinting at. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I'm misreading it. Mm-hmm. I kind of see that, but obviously, like, she's very into him. That's very obvious. But I would say Brandon right now is my top pick for her. If I had to pick one.
Interesting. A guy who hasn't had a one-on-one yet. So yeah. I think, especially after this episode, I'm thinking that Joe might be in the lead. I think Joe is my pick.
They're solid. So yeah, they just look like they make so much sense. Mm-hmm. Their whole background, lifestyle, obviously where they come from, the state was perfect for them. Like, you knew that was coming. It was absolutely ideal. He's got a really cool, his shyness and like how reserved he is. It's so loud, like in the best way possible. Like it just works. I don't know. Like, I really appreciate that. I kind of saw a little bit of, like, I see myself in him and how he was on the show, just kind of being a little bit reserved and taking a little long to kind of really fully open up. And I think that's just, it's just very natural and authentic how it comes across. Just seems like a really solid guy. It's like, it was like a complete 180, because you kind of get thrown for a loop in the beginning, the first episode.
And totally.
He's like ghosting her and all that. You think that's what happened. And now his story's starting to come out and you really understand who this guy is. It's just, like I said, authentic is, I think, the best way for me to describe him.
My feelings on him have probably changed the most out of everybody in the cast since episode one.
Totally.
Because
I would agree with that.
Reservations about him at first. Okay. And then what about Clayton? Because every week here on the podcast, Ben and I are puzzled as to why the producers seem so sold on him to become the next Bachelor. To me, he is nothing glitzy. I'm not compelled. We got a little bit more from him out of this episode, but only like comparably speaking to what we've gotten from him in other episodes. Right. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you think that his storyline is going to develop so much in the next like 2 to 3 weeks that we're going to fall in love? Or is it a huge mistake?
I don't want to say it's a huge mistake. I mean, to make that decision so early, I don't know if that's ever been done before. I mean, I could be completely wrong on that, but to
think it's
choose a lead as early as they did without anybody knowing them, getting a reaction from the public live as this episodes were airing, they obviously felt very confident. But I agree with you. There is really no glitz or glamour there. I'll give him props though. He definitely, to me, stood out a little bit more this episode. I saw sides of him I don't think that anyone has seen yet. It's like it's like you're rooting to see something. Like you want to get excited for this next season of The Bachelor coming up. And you know, what awaits with that. And it's been kind of hard to get excited. So I don't know. I think, yeah, you have to, for the sake of the show, you have to see something in the next couple of weeks, and he really has got to take off. And hopefully that is the case.
Yeah, totally agree. All right. Well, before we take a quick break, we have to talk about your new children's book, The Adventures of Pilot Pete, which is set to come out on November 23rd. Apparently, Jared and my children's book, Lucy and Clark, A Story of Puppy Love, was in some way a spark for you to create your own.
This is actually, yeah, this is kind of crazy coming full circle. So funny. So Andy, the publisher that you worked with on your guys' children's book, we had been introduced to each other. It's about a year and a half ago. And to be honest, a children's book never was really the idea like I had thought of in my head of writing. And so he brought up your guys' book, and that's what kind of like got the spark for me to get going. And immediately I knew exactly what I wanted to do and what I wanted it to be about. So I guess I owe you guys a big thanks for this kind of coming to fruition and being the pathfinders there. But yeah, it's an awesome, I mean, you know how cool of a process it is to write a children's book. It's very unique, obviously, with the illustrations. It was just a really cool experience for me. It's a non-fictional book about my first love, right? And, you know, people have kind of seen my romantic love, you know, play out, or lack thereof, I guess, on TV. But this is my first love, aviation, and how I fell in love with it from the first time I saw an airplane, and through, you know, growing up and all the work I put in, the trials you go through, and finally getting to my dream job. And, you know, my hope is that it can just inspire a lot of children, inspire the next generation, have some longevity here, and be something really positive that people can enjoy. So I'm super excited to share it with everyone. And I hope it just inspires, like I've been inspired by so many people in you know, my life growing up.
So is there any lessons in it?
Just follow your dreams. It is never give up until you find them or tell you to achieve those. it literally that's, you know, I've had, it's so cool to, pay honor to, I guess, so many mentors that I've had in my life, because they're all in the book. And, you know, from high school teachers to flight instructors, to my parents, to my friends, I get to bring them all back and tell that story. And yeah, it's a follow your dreams, chase your dreams type book, and finding whatever that is, whether it's flying or, you know, whatever it may be, that makes you feel so alive that you literally never feel like you're going to work a day in your life. And, you know, I feel so fortunate that I've been able to find that, and people know I'm super passionate. So being able to put this in a children's book and relive it through the whole illustration process and the writing process was such a joy for me. So I hope people enjoy it. And I'd love to make a series, you know, this moving forward, more fictional, and make it educational for kids too, going off to far off places, and a little mystery there. So there's a lot of potential. I hope for it.
It definitely, with the title, sounds like it's going to be part of a series.
Yeah. So that's the goal. That's the goal.
Hopefully this one goes well.
Yeah. So thank you guys.
People can get it, I'm assuming, on Amazon, but is there a place where, like, maybe they don't take 50% of the proceeds that you want to plug?
True. Yeah. So you guys go to theadventuresofpilotpete.com and you'll get a signed copy of the book. It's the only way to get that version of the copy of the book. So it's on my Instagram. I have it linked there. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it.
And shameless plug on my behalf as well. If you're just trying to stock up on Bachelor children's books, you can get ours at www.lucyandclarkbook.com.
We should do a little bundle package.
Yeah, we should. Let's do a collab.
I think we're the only people from Bachelor Nation done children's books. So we got to stick together.
I think so too. Yes. We have to speak about flying for 1 second, since it's related to this. How does it go when people see you up there in the cockpit, whether you're saying hello or saying goodbye? When fans spot you and they're like, "You're my pilot," have you ever heard anything like super outrageous or like, "Ah, I'm scared, Pilot Pete, like, he couldn't decide between two girls. How am I supposed to trust him in the air?"
Listen, I'm a lot better pilot than I am bachelor. Okay. I will put it out there. I'm a damn good pilot, and I'm very confident saying that. It's fun. It's really fun. It's cool to see the love out there. What's always funny for me is, is the captains usually have no idea about the show. It's usually the flight attendants that really know and that kind of followed it.
Flight attendants love The Bachelor.
They do. I mean, just last night we were talking about it the entire time, and I don't mind. It's always cool. Like I said, all the love I appreciate, but it's always funny if I'm like on a 3 or 4 day trip and the captain will like finally, like on day two, like he has no idea. And then he'll be like, why does this flight attendant keep coming up? Or why is she taking pictures of you and not me? Like they just have no idea. And, that, cause I never say anything. Like I just don't want to really bring it up. And then they'll get like introduced to it and they're like, what? And then they'll be all curious and they'll ask. And, it's funny. We literally, this is not flying related. It triggered my memory. Yesterday we're going to New York. This was hilarious. And we're looking for a new apartment because we're going to go move downtown. Mm-hmm. And so Dustin, myself, and one of our other best friends, we're going to move in together. We go to this apartment. This realtor says, yeah, meet us at this apartment. At this time, the tenant will be there to show you guys in and whatnot. Anyways, we call the number. They don't pick up. We email the lady. The realtor doesn't respond. Luckily, there was a guy that was like at the front door. So he opens the door for us, very gracious. Like, hey, we're here to see this apartment and whatnot. Like, oh yeah, I guess you guys can go in. So we walk up, we knock on the door and this girl like says, hello. And we're walking to the door or she's walking to the front door. She opens it and we're both, me and her, just like, we lock eyes and we're like very confused at like who we're looking at. And then she just looks at me and she goes, and then she looks over and she sees Dustin there and she goes, Am I getting punked right now? I'm like, we're just here to see the apartment. Like, what are you doing here? And I don't know. You just kind of just reminded me of that. It was kind of fun. So whenever I see people out there, it's cool. I appreciate the love and got some funny stories for sure.
Do you like have any side effects when you go up there? Because I don't know how you guys do it. Like just be in the air all day. Like I get the worst jet belly. I come off any flight that is more
jet
than
belly.
Two. Yes. With like the most painful bloat.
Interesting.
You don't have any like tummy pains or anything like that, like dehydration.
I mean, I guess I'm not pregnant, so I mean,
well,
I don't know if that, like,
it's been way worse while pregnant. Oh my gosh, I need like 3 hours recovery after a flight.
I don't get that, but I get my feet sometimes they get really swollen. Like if okay. I'm in the back, I know people like have. They get triggered by this or whatnot. Sometimes I take my shoes off, you know, and I always put a blanket over them. So like, it's not disgusting for anyone, but
so
like I'm one of the guys.
Barefoot, not socks.
No. I'll always have socks on.
Oh, everybody should be fine with having socks on.
Okay. See, I agree with that too. Some people like are like, no, absolutely not. You keep your shoes on 24/7. No. And I'm not doing this in the cock, but this is when I'm like a passenger, but
yeah,
I'll get swollen feet. You know, I'll notice when I put my shoes on, they're super tight. I honestly struggle. This is super random, but I would struggle with dry eyes for the longest time. I kind of got through that phase, thank God. But I, you know, the altitude, the cabin pressure is 8,000 feet, not that much humidity up there. So that's been my kind of side effects from flying, but luckily it's gotten better.
And you're a United co-pilot now?
Yeah. I fly for United Airlines, first officer. And I'm really hoping to, so my dad, the reason I came over from Delta, my dad flies here and he retires in April. And so the dream is to be on his retirement flight and be his first officer on his last flight. So I'm working
to
get there.
When is he planning on retiring?
He April 21st is at 65. You have to retire when you're a pilot. It's an FAA law. So he's got just, you know, the 20th, I guess April is the last day he can legally fly.
Oh my gosh. Well, I hope you're able to do that. That would be so cute.
Oh. Yeah. Pretty cool.
All right.
The book actually, it kind of, hopefully it's a little foreshadowing. That's kind of how the book goes too in the story and how it kind of ends.
Oh, well, it must happen then. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're manifesting it.
Absolutely.
And we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to break down this episode of Michelle Season.
The Bets Bracket Rule of the Week for week 6 is plus 10. If a contestant uses the word vulnerable, or if Michelle compliments them for being vulnerable.
And we're back, and this cast sends off to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I think we're going to be spending a few weeks with Michelle and the guys. And I'm surprised these guys didn't get more dramatic over the fact that Joe got the first one-on-one this week and say things like, he's getting this advantage. It's his hometown and he's getting the one-on-one. But it also just feels so right because yeah. I feel like these two should have been on dates in Minneapolis before today, right?
Sure. Yeah. No, I love the date. I think it was super cute to watch. I put myself in Michelle's shoes and I'm like, that would be, you know, I mean, actually kind of, I was able to do a little bit similar stuff, I guess, in LA, some hometown stuff. And mm-hmm. it means so much to be able to share something so personal with, you know, people on the show and that kind of experience. And then having them both though be from that area, it just was like a double whammy. So super special. I feel like I hear you with the, like the lack of drama with the guys, but it's almost like it was such a perfect date. They couldn't have been mad about it. Like they had to be like, yo, that's your time, man. Go enjoy it. Go have the time of your life with her. And I thought they handled it well.
And from Joe's perspective, he must have been just like having more of a sense of comfort on this one-on-one than you normally would have gotten just because you're like, oh, true. I've been here before. I've been there before. And not everything is new.
Right. Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I think for sure him being a little bit more reserved and kind of getting him out of that shell, this was the perfect day. Couldn't have been any better for him. So mm-hmm. happy for him. He definitely grew on me a bunch during that date.
Totally. So they go to Twin Stadium. She throws out the first pitch.
They did everything on that date.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. Then she goes to her high school, shows him her locker. They look through the yearbook. And of course, they talk about basketball. They play basketball in her old high school, like gym. And that is super nostalgic. I feel like even if you're not like a basketball player, if yeah. I were to go back to my high school gym, I'd get all the feels.
Oh, totally. And it was so cool. Like all of her pictures were still up there and they got to, you know, see her back in high school. She, what was it? I think ninth grade. She was on varsity, like girl's an all-star, like absolute all-star. Yes. And that was pretty badass. She beat him in the dress too. She beat Mr. Minnesota.
Dude, she is really good at basketball. Jared said the other week, he was like, I could take her. I'm like, Jared, she was rated number one in her state. I do not think you could take her. She keeps making these three-pointers.
Yeah, the girl doesn't miss.
No, she doesn't. I mean, like, I'm sure they only edit it for us to see her keep scoring, right, but it's right. still quite impressive how with ease she just tosses it up and it's like, in.
No, very, very natural. I was definitely very impressed. She'd kick my ass. I freaking sucked at basketball. So definitely giving her props.
And then I get like the big part of this day is when they go to dinner and he talks about, excuse me. So the big part about this date is when they go to dinner and he talks about how he broke three bones. I think it was in his leg or like in his foot.
In his leg first, I think seventh grade, yeah.
Yeah, and then in college, he broke. I think that's when he broke his foot, right?
Yeah.
And then
he had the surgery.
The surgery was messed up.
Messed it up even more.
And then he had to go back in and get like seven screws in his foot. And it led to him, you know, not being able to play to the best of his ability. And he got into like a deep, anxiety, depression, even having suicidal thoughts. And the two of them are just so emotional. But if anybody's going to kind of like understand the mental space that he would have been in, it would have been Michelle, because she just knows how much playing a game means to him. Because like I think a lot of girls maybe were like, how were you so affected by not being able to just play a sport? It's just a sport, you know, was it going to be your whole life? But yeah. She really gets him.
Yeah, I think, you know, the mindset of an athlete, and I wasn't even, you know, I was not even close to any type of all-star athlete, but I definitely loved sports growing up and really enjoyed it. And like just the effort and the time and the commitment that you put into it, just from someone like me that wasn't even like an all-star, I know is incredible. So I can only imagine these two. Mm-hmm. I think they were both either one was runner-up and one was like for the Mr. and Mrs. Minnesota. Like mm-hmm. these two are people that, and I had a lot of friends growing up that they remind me of that were so just invested in their craft. And like that was, you know, like he said, I think once in the day, like ball is life. And then, you know, it wasn't anymore. You're so invested in like, it's so true. It's kind of why I think we said earlier, like they just make so much sense. They just understand each other on such a common, deep level, obviously with so many similarities and their you know, their background, where they come from. It was, for me, super cool. These are the dates that I love watching. This is really why I got hooked on the show. And I've loved the show, is like the true, like the emotion. When you see that come through, nothing's like contrived or it's all just so real. And like seeing someone that maybe is not, I mean, no one's used to opening up like that on reality TV if you've never been on it before, but seeing that kind of like growth as a viewer in real time is, in my opinion, super beautiful, and why the show has been so successful. And like, this was one of those moments, and I really enjoyed it and appreciated it.
Both of them talk about kind of being reserved, and he says that he actually feels really comfortable expressing himself with her, which is awesome. So yeah, he's my top choice right now. Feel like he's going all the way.
He reminds her of her dad too. That's a huge compliment.
Oh, that is a huge compliment. All right. Well, then we move on to the group
date.
Maybe
you're right. Maybe he is over Brandon. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. But I do think that Brandon has a lot of room to grow, because we still haven't seen a one-on-one and he's still like in my mental top four.
Don't you, like I've said this before, right now, and obviously we're hoping to see something more with Clayton. I feel like Brandon though is like, he's a great front runner for that. Or Joe, like I'm just, I don't know. I'm so curious to see what comes in these next couple episodes.
If we didn't know Clayton was going to be the Bachelor, we would never think he was going to be the Bachelor. Yeah, my true. Only thought is that because of like the filming schedule, they kind of had to pick somebody that we also kind of thought wasn't going to end up with Michelle, because then it would have just been a total spoiler.
That's such a good point. Did not even think about that. That's honestly probably what it was.
Yeah. Who's going to make the best Bachelor, who obviously isn't going to end up with her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I can't think of any other reason right now. So you're onto something.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. So the next is the group date, and the guys go to Viking Stadium, and they have to compete in Viking challenges, like eating really disgusting things, putting on Viking costumes, doing arm wrestling. What else did they do?
They did the battle cries.
The battle cries, yeah.
Yeah, ate the crazy food. They threw the logs, yeah, all the Viking stuff.
One of those dates that's like fun, but like doesn't tell us a whole bunch about the guys.
Except it did. I don't.
If we did
with Chris. Why make yourself so hateable?
I don't know. I think was leaning into it. Maybe he just knew he had no storyline and was like, okay, I'll take the villain role.
Like making the, like, you know that people are just gonna rag on you for like, oh, I can't eat. Like being the one dude that's saying I'm not gonna eat it. Like you're already dressed like a. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but you're already dressed like a jackass. Like don't act like a jackass. No, like. Why? I don't get that.
He has no self of humor. No sense of humor.
I don't know. He puzzled me the entire time.
Yeah. Okay. So then at the group date dinner portion, well, actually during this entire date, we see that the guys are taking so much more effort with her than they did the previous week, which is very important. Brendan, Brandon, and Clayton probably going their most out of the way to show her attention during the date, the nighttime portion. What are some standout moments that you have?
Let's see here. So that was, I think, the conversation. I think it's the first conversation that stood out to me with Clayton and Michelle.
It's the only one, right? And it was them talking about their parents and how they're raised kind of similarly.
Yeah. So I think that's the first one to kind of give me some hope. And I'm not going to lie. I did see some chemistry there between Michelle and Clayton. I hadn't seen it at all before, but there was something there. Brandon and her, it's just it works. It's very easy with them. They're really good at like flirting with each other. They have that just like that natural spark.
See, to me, I feel like their relationship is very physical. It's based on physical attraction right now.
Yes, I could see that, and hopefully you see that develop into something more. And I think it will. trying to think what other in that specific group date one.
Well, I guess it was Chris basically waiting for her to go up it to him and say like, thank you for giving me warnings last week. Like that was the weirdest thing.
Yeah. I that didn't make any sense to me too. Cause he was mad that from the previous week that no one was giving her the attention that she deserved. And then they are doing that exact thing.
Hypocritical.
Now he's still mad about it. And then I don't know. Like I said, he just puzzled me the entire episode. Everything he did, I would have just been like, dude, do the opposite. Like what are you doing?
That's such a funny point. Last week it was all about you guys didn't come grab me. And he was like, yeah, everybody didn't come grab you. I thought that was gross. And now this week he's like, why didn't you come grab me?
Grab me. I don't know, man.
The irony. That is wild. Okay, so Clayton ends up getting the group date rose. And I do believe it was one of those moments where it was like, he got the group date rose because they finally like clicked.
Yeah, and maybe even for him too. I know he said something like, he probably figured they're going to do football, right? With the whole stadium date card. Mm-hmm. And he like fell asleep that night and he's like, you know, I need to show out. Like I need to go all out. And I remember having moments like that where.
Is he former football player?
I believe he is. And I actually think he played for the Seahawks, which I'm obviously a diehard fan of. So
very cool.
So you know what? I'm happy that he's the bachelor because we got a fellow Seahawk there. I think he was. Don't quote me 100%. But, yeah, I think you saw him, you know, kind of, you know what it's like, right? Did you have that? Like, you kind of find your groove. It maybe takes a little bit, but like something happens or you feel like comfortable. You're in a setting that just like is your place. And then it's just, at least for me, I resonated with that. The confidence just kind of shifts. You saw that with Clayton. They didn't even play football. It was just maybe being in the stadium. Maybe, I don't know what it was, but you saw him kind of start to find his groove a little bit and got the rose and we'll see what develops.
Okay, so he did play for the Seahawks.
He did. Okay.
It looks like that was the only team he played, the only professional team he played on.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so now we go to Nate's one-on-one. He gets the one-on-one after saying, you know, after starting all that drama last week by saying, my one-on-one is only a matter of time, which, you know, I can understand why Chris would interpret that as a little cocky, but at the same time, I think he described when Nate was describing to her friends on the boat why he said that. I thought it made total sense. He was just like, you know, I know what we have between us. She keeps saying I'm going to be around for a while, that she's looking forward to spending more time with me. He has good reason. And he explained it in a humble way. So what else was there about that date? They're on the boat, you know, then she says we're going to have a group date. Brings her two best friends, Allie and Tia, on. The girls talk about, you know, like when they're leaving, they said that they like feel the chemistry. They feel like he's there for the right reasons and all of that. She said that. And then Allie, she said that she's very particular about the guys that Michelle sees because she's put way more effort in than the guys that have been in relationships with her in the past. So she didn't think she was going to like him. She wasn't sure, but she does like him. And,
That's the one thing though that I don't get.
What?
I don't see Michelle like I'd be so curious to like go back in time and see these guys that Michelle's with. I don't see Michelle attracting these kind of guys that she says that she's been with. Like to me, like she just seems like she has it all together in so many ways. And obviously it happened, but I'm just like, I'm shocked that she
would tolerate that.
Yeah, like for so long, for 3 years, like. Again, like I think the world of her and like everything I've seen on the show, like there's really nothing to hate, nothing to really criticize at all and just respect. And I'm like, I'm shocked that those have been the relationships that she's been in. You wouldn't really necessarily expect it from a girl like her.
You have a great point there. You would not. Yeah. Maybe she's matured a lot in the past couple of years. No, she doesn't seem like a girl that would put up with that. Anyway,
hey, everything happens for a reason. So,
yeah, let's kind of go into that because during the nighttime portion of this date, she talks to Nate about one of those toxic relationships where she literally couldn't eat. because mm-hmm. she was just like so anxiety ridden in this relationship that she thought that she had like an actual medical issue.
It was sad,
and
yeah.
the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And it ended up just like her needing to get out of the relationship to the point where they were going to put a feeding tube in her. Like how wild. She couldn't stomach food that much.
Stress. I mean, yeah, they say like stress kills. And I mean, that's like the definition of a toxic relationship right there. Yeah. Super sad to hear. I guess, yeah, even, yeah, just to my point, I mean, she obviously probably learned so much from that relationship and moving forward. And I guess what we're seeing is like I'm not say reformed or polished because she just seems like such a great person, but she's grown a lot and learned a lot of lessons you can tell from her prior upraising. And yeah, it's super sad that she went through that, but it's good thing she's not in it anymore.
The one thing about this is that this was one of these one-on-ones where we learn more about Michelle than we learned about Nate. We don't really get a story from Nate.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't happen a lot.
Doesn't happen a lot. I don't know. I wonder what that means. I wonder if there what kind of conversations were picked out of this, you know, edited right. out of this. And I wonder what's going to happen during the teasers, because in the teasers, they talk about how like somebody's an actor, right? And yeah. they keep directing that at Nate. And I don't know if I buy that it's at Nate.
It's not going to Nate. They get you good, the editing. I was like, what? That's what it was? There's a scene with Brandon on the stairs. And in the previews before, they dub it with the crying, right? Like a dude's crying. And he was just like, I had his eyes closed waiting for the fish to come. That's really what it was. And like, man, they're so good. They're so good.
So who do you think that's directed at? If anybody in the cast, they literally could have been talking about like Ben Affleck. Be like, he's an actor.
100%. Like someone they just saw like on a group date on the street, a random dude. I'm putting money on it. It's not Nate, guys. I can assure you that. I don't know. Now that Chris is gone, one thing I'll say, I'm surprised they have gotten rid of all the villains so quickly.
Is
drama.
Another villain going to pop up, and will it be Nate? I think is the biggest question, because I think that people, if they had to choose a villain in this bunch, it might be Nate. Now, why? Not sure, right? Is it the overconfidence?
That's the only thing, because I think I said it earlier. It's, and I could be completely wrong just from what I've seen. There's some things that kind of like maybe rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, but I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think like you said, the overconfidence, sometimes it can come off a little like unbecoming, but yeah, I don't know who else I would say besides him, just because the storyline we've kind of gotten, I really don't.
All right. Well, if we are trying to figure out who is going to be a villain, if any, for the remainder, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks left of the season, why don't we pull an alum from this season who was eliminated week 3 as a guest right now? Let's get him in the way. Let's get him. He's sitting in the waiting room, but let's just get him on the podcast. It's Malik Johnson. Maybe he has some insight into the guys left.
Hello.
Hello, Malik.
Hi, so, Ashley.
What's going on, man?
We're breaking down this week's episode. And we have some questions for you.
Absolutely.
Of the guys that remain, is there anyone that you had bad vibes from?
Chris S.
Oh, okay. Well, Chris S, he gets eliminated in this episode. So so there you go. Why did you have bad vibes with Chris S while you were still there? Because he didn't quite start drama until last week.
Right. I don't know. For me, I definitely felt something off with him. You know, I remember our basketball game. Every time the cameras came around, he just was just very anxious to speak and talk about a lot of things. And as soon as the camera left, he just stopped. I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, it just seemed as if though he was very calculated. It's just there, just trying to like get like a bunch of like just camera time and just know what to say at the right time, when to interject. It was just. You just rubbed me wrong a little bit. You seemed a little off.
Was he close with anyone? Like any of the guys?
Martin.
Not even really like that. No. Martin was more close with Jamie. Okay. I think after Jamie left, then I think him and Martin perhaps may have came a little bit closer. But like he was just there. He just always had something to say. I was just trying to like be the cool guy, just have something to say. And I just didn't really feel the vibe. So I just didn't really interact with him a lot.
Well, speaking of Martin, we haven't really touched on this yet. He ends up saying to Michelle that the women in Florida or Miami, where he's from, they're high maintenance. And it kind of irks her a little bit because he says that women who are high maintenance, he defines as somebody or as a woman who expects to be fully taken care of by a man. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't really figure out what specifically she has an issue with in that statement. I am thinking in a relationship, you want to be one, you want full effort, which would mean that you want the guy to care. And then you want your heart and all your emotions to be also fully cared for the two totally. Men in the room right now. How do you feel about that statement?
I honestly think he did a very poor job of actually explaining what he really meant. I honestly don't think that anyone, like, listen, both a man and a woman, yes, you want to feel like the other's putting in 100% effort, but I don't think anyone goes into a relationship wanting someone to be high maintenance. I think he defined high maintenance incorrectly or just, mm-hmm. just the wrong way. I really don't think Michelle was looking for a high maintenance guy. She was 100% right in coming right back at him and saying, well, throwing it back in his face and essentially and saying that, no, you should be wanting to take care of the person, just like, both you guys should be doing the same thing and putting the effort in. But I think he did a poor job of explaining what he was trying to explain.
It's kind of like week two for him there, because we also saw him explain his relationship with Jamie a little oddly last week and her decision to eliminate him. Malik, how did you feel about Martin in the house?
At first, be honest with you, I mean, I didn't really get a lot of, I didn't have a lot of interaction with Martin at first, but remember like I think it was the second rose ceremony, there's a group having a conversation, and it was when she's talking about, she felt like people were questioning her character. And, I just remember there was a conversation happening, and I looked over and I just said, hey, if y'all not here for the right reasons, y'all gonna get found out sooner or later. And so, I looked over and I just saw a fish expression. And since that moment, I kind of sat back and I was trying to observe more. But, obviously I wasn't there for much longer to really, really, because I'm very observant. So I really sit back and watch what's going on here. And so I sensed a little something there, which I was trying to figure out. But, obviously I didn't stay long enough to figure out what's off about him entirely.
Ah, so you're insinuating that Martin could be there for the wrong reasons.
I mean, listen, I'm a good judge of character, and I picked up on some things real quick and easy. And so I wasn't feeling 100%. I wasn't feeling great, very, very, very great or positive towards him.
Interesting. Now, what about Nate? Because before you got on, Peter and I were talking about Nate and how of all the guys that remain, for some reason, I feel like maybe the edit is trying to make us hesitant of Nate, even though we haven't really seen anything of proof yet.
Yeah. And it's always say it's one of those things you never really know until you really know, right? And for me, my interaction with Nate was very positive, and Nate was a very genuine person to me, an individual. And so I actually like Nate a lot. And I don't know his true intentions or what's going to happen in the end, but I feel like he's a good individual. He's a great human.
Okay, great. So when you left the house, I know you only left week three, and there was a lot of time after that. But who did you go home and say, oh, I think it's this guy who's going to win?
Nate or Joe.
Okay, Nate or Joe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what
about Brandon?
I said this, and I remember saying this. Brandon would be the right choice for her because Brandon is smitten by her. And Brandon is just he's like that young puppy child. He's like, he just will do anything for her. So if she wants someone who's just going to be all about her, then I feel like Brandon is the right choice. But when it comes to Nate or Joe, I think they're a little bit more mature, a little bit more advanced, ready to potentially, make her their fiance. So
I wonder if you're right. And we see in the preview, there's a father that's talking to Michelle saying he's not ready.
I saw that and I was just like, and actually doesn't make sense because like, even though I love all these men, like Ima said, Nate is great. Like, is he ready to be engaged? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So like I said, come to the end, as great as he is, maybe at the end, it could be his father. It could be Joe's father. I don't know. It could be any one of them. Yeah. Because some fathers, like, I know my son.
We've got to analyze that dad's face and figure out which one he looks the most like.
I was trying to. I know. I was like, oh, gee, do I see in that?
I think it could be Joe. It could be Joe or Brandon. I don't think it's Nate.
Oh, boy.
I think all their dads are African-American, so.
All right, Malik, you got to know Clayton. Yes. We've been talking on this podcast for weeks as to why Clayton was chosen to be the Bachelor. Please give us some insight.
I wish I knew.
Don't tell us that, bro. Don't tell us that.
I'm serious. I wish I knew because, you know, when I was there, like, I'm be honest with you, I thought he was going home like week after week. And
Who does he know on the show?
Listen,
I'm shocked. I'm floored.
There's a lot of comparison with him in previous Bachelors. So maybe he has the right look. I don't know.
All right. Well, I mean, that has to lead me to another question. When we get off seasons, mostly, or so I feel like, there's a big group message between the cast of that season where you kind of bring new people into the chat each week once they're eliminated.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So did you guys have a group chat?
Yeah, we got a group chat.
And Clayton, was he in it?
Clayton's not in it because Clayton's been busy, MIA.
He probably wasn't allowed, yeah.
You know, so we're assuming maybe he wasn't allowed to be.
All right. Well, you've been a wealth of knowledge. Thank you, Malik, for all your insight.
Hey, thank you, man.
Whatever I have, I give.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. We appreciate you. Hope to have you back.
I appreciate y'all. Have a great day.
Bye. You too.
I see you, man.
All right. Well, Peter, we got some answers there.
We did. Honestly, I think he's onto something. Yeah, I think. I could see, I'm not going to lie, I'm a big Brandon fan, but I can see what he's talking about. The smittenness.
He feels young. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
A lot of youth there, which is sweet and endearing, but like ready to be married. I don't know.
Not quite the same levels.
Yeah. Anything else we haven't spoken about? Okay. Well, I guess Chris, the conversation with Chris, we need to talk about this. Chris comes and crashes the date, which is the weirdest thing, but also like not surprising because Chris keeps proving to be weird and selecting times to talk to Michelle when he, you know, and also weird times.
Right.
He says,
I think Nate even goes, he's like, dude, this is weird.
Yeah. Oh, he keeps saying, this like, is weird. This is weird. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So he comes and he's just like, I just wanted to like, let you know again. That Nate's not a good guy or something. And she's like, okay, well, this is just like, we have nothing.
She's like, I'm having a great time with him. So yeah. I disagree respectfully.
Exactly. And she's like, I don't have a good time with you though. So I think I'm going to send you home.
Again, and then her response, she's so freaking polished.
Oh my
like she's,
God, how does she do it?
On the spot there, I'm
I
just
know.
Like, I wish I would have seen your season before I ever attempted to do this. Like you are just, she's, I keep saying a rock star. Like I don't need a man to speak for me. I can speak for myself. Going back into like how she's been treated in the past and examples. And like, it's such an empower. Like she said it, she feels empowered now when she's able to speak for herself. And I'm just there like rooting for her. And I'm like, yes, yes. And like, I honestly feel bad for Chris because he looks a little ridiculous. But I mean, Michelle, she handled that as perfect as she could handle it with so much grace and walked him out. And that was that.
She's so articulate. I'm so jealous. I feel like I need to come on this podcast every week and just be like, be Michelle, speak like Michelle. And like,
totally.
She should just be my role model in life.
I feel like you can't really, we'll see if she gets flustered. I mean, she's had a little bit of the stuff with that last episode and guys not giving her attention, but like, you really haven't seen her fully like break down or like have something that she couldn't really handle. I'm curious to see if she gets pushed to her limit and if we get to see that.
I don't know. I think she'll even be articulate in that moment.
I agree. I do.
She stands up for herself beautifully. Okay, so with the cocktail party, not a whole bunch to discuss. I have to say, I don't get the Rick thing. He seems like a nice guy. And I think I said it on last week's episode. I still can't think about him without just seeing his head on the tray. And I wonder if I would have a different perspective if he didn't do that.
Yeah. And I think because like, so that's our first introduction to him. And he does have very expressive eyes.
That's what it is. Because I keep seeing his eyes on the tray.
That's all you saw. There was nothing really to look at besides the eyes. They're just so captivating. And I think she even said that too. Like he did his little strut and it was more of his eyes than the strut. And she's like, oh, your eyes. And so, yeah, they're, he's got nice eyes. I thought they had a nice date. I don't know what episode that was, but yeah, I don't know necessarily. Episode. I think I had had, we did a top five and he was one of my top five for the end. I don't know if he'll necessarily make it there.
He might be top five.
You think so? Yeah. We'll see. Maybe the fifth. I don't think the top four.
Yeah. Because if we were going to break down the top four, okay, you and I on the same page, we got Joe, Brandon, mm-hmm. And Nate. And then there's like one more spot to fill, which I think I would fill with Rodney.
Yes.
I was surprised was the last rose this week because I thought they were going to leave us hanging with the Martin decision.
Yeah, I was shocked by that too. And then I'm curious to see if that just gets blown over because you see in the previews, like they're full on making out in episodes to come, her and Martin. So it seems like that's not an issue with their conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So who's going to get eliminated next week? I mean, like it's been so obvious up until this point. And now it's like, oh, okay. Those ceremonies are going to have a little bit more intensity to them.
Truly, truly dramatic. I think, honestly, I think Rick may be on the cutting board here, chopping block here. All right. I don't know.
We shall see. And I think she's going to bring her parents out on a date soon. And we'll know that she's pretty serious about that guy.
I'm just excited, too. Like, I love seeing the travel. It's coming back and seeing new places and being able to have them explore and do these cool things. Like, I think it helps the show too. So I think these ratings, I think it'll pick up this week if I had to guess. It was a good episode. I liked it.
She deserves it.
She does.
All right, guys. After this break, we're going to do Hot Topics and Easton and I are going to discuss our weekend in Nashville at Ben and Jess's wedding. We'll be right back. Okay, guys, welcome back. We're going to get Easton on the line. Hey, Easton.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
Peter, Easton is one of our engineers. He's been with us for the past 4 years. He's an amazing dude. And I saw him for the first time in almost 2 years in person at Ben's wedding the other day.
Oh, very cool.
Let's take them through the evening a little bit, Easton, right? So the ceremony happened in a tent, and it was Reba McEntire's former estate. Am I right there?
Yeah. In a lovely town called Lebanon, Tennessee, right on the water of a body of water. I'm not familiar with the name, but
a little lake.
Yeah, it was in a tent and it was very cold, but there were a lot of heaters in there. I was surprised at how warm that tent was.
It's hilarious because as a pregnant person, man, am I like immune to cold. I feel like I'm always 15 degrees hotter than what it really is. So everybody was like, I'm freezing. And I'm like, really? I'm fine. I was so cool in that tent. Like cool as in like fine, not like cold. Anyway, we all had a good laugh when Ben's groomsmen came down the aisle because there was like 15 of them. Okay, there was 13. I was being a little dramatic. I counted. There was 13. And just to see all these guys walk down the aisle and it just never stopped was hilarious. But it describes how many friends Ben has. And Ben even had, in addition to those groomsmen, ushers, which Wells was one of them, who didn't stand up there with him. But there was like five and they seated people.
The groomsman was very, I had a really good laugh at that.
Yeah.
they just kept coming and coming, you know?
Yeah. The lighting in there was beautiful. Did you get to see Ben's face when he saw Jess walk down the aisle? You got it clearly. I was like on my tiptoes.
Yeah.
Was he crying?
Yeah, he got emotional. I got emotional just watching him. That was seeing Ben's reaction through the whole thing was like quietly my favorite part of the ceremony, because you could tell he was just beaming with love, that guy.
I know. It was definitely awesome. A 27 dresses moment where uh-huh. half the crowd was looking at Ben to see his reaction yep. to Jess.
Aw.
So sweet. Their vows were beautiful. We talked last week. I mean, the vows are probably my favorite part of the ceremony. You?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I remember Ben saying, you know, he had so many important things to say to Jess and he wanted to do it in front of everyone. And it really lived up to expectations. People were joking afterward that Ben should be like a vow writer. And I'm like, well, that would be really sad for whoever hired him to write vows. But I know what you mean. They were fantastic. And Jess looked amazing. Ben was kind of right about the dress in the sense that it wasn't bedazzled. It was strapless. It showed enough back. But it was not A-line. It was more of a body con. It contoured her body. And then there's 400 people there. So it was a packed tent. And then the reception was like kind of, it was just pretty much a big dance party, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. I was, because there were so many people there. I knew so few people there. I was like, oh man, are we going to be like seated at some table and I have to like make small talk with like a third, you know, cousin Higgins or something. But I really liked how they did it. It was just like they had a buffet with a lot of great food and it was just like a big party the whole time. And you could just kind of walk around and hang. And it was plenty warm. There's lots of heaters everywhere because the temperatures got kind of low. But really quick, I did want to say, Ben's been talking about how he had three officiants at this mm-hmm. thing. Oh, yeah. I thought I was really confused how that was going to go. I'm like, are they going to like round robin or like just all stand up there at the same time? It was really seamless how they did it. It was just like a transition from like Jess's family pastor to their pastor in Denver and then Ben's childhood pastor. And it was really, really beautiful how they did that, I thought.
It was really seamless.
Yeah.
And then their band was awesome. The mm-hmm. Jordan Kahn band, who was actually the band that we had at our wedding, not the same, like it's the same ownership. They have this ownership. Jordan Kahn has a couple different bands they send out. But they were awesome. And Ben and Jess were seriously just like glowing the entire time. It was awesome to see everyone. And our first like real headline kind of goes off of the wedding. And that is the fact that Nick Viall and Sean Booth had a beautiful moment at the wedding. There was no tension to be found, guys. And Wells got on, I think it was Instagram, and confirmed this. He goes, it was not awkward. They were fine. And yes, they've seen each other a number of times since Caitlin's season. And I would assume that they would be fine. And other Bachelor headlines pertaining to the wedding. Let's see. Ben said before the wedding, I'm so excited. This was this quote to People magazine. I'm so excited. We have so much to look forward to. And I know we will have a beautiful marriage. They are off on their honeymoon right now in St. Bart's. And so we're going to get so much more information about, you know, Ben and Jess's feelings on the wedding and, of course, their honeymoon, which, I mean, that was a honeymoon worth waiting for, I'm sure. We were all kind of talking behind the scenes about the honeymoon, okay? I was like, you guys, this is like the night. This is like a lot of stress. I'm like really stressed for them.
Do you think it happened that night?
I don't know. Is this the worst to be talking about this?
Isn't it true though? Like when you get married, like you're absolutely exhausted after. Like you just a lot of couples just crash.
50% of married couples like don't have sex on their wedding night. I think that's like a real stat.
I didn't. I'll talk
you
about
didn't?
That.
Okay. No, well, I'll be honest. We did. I had to for the tradition of it, and. And then I don't know. I kept thinking that day, I was like, are we going to add extra stress to Jess? Like on this night, when they finally get back to their wedding night, she's going to be like, I have to have a whole other new experience in my life right now.
That is crazy. Damn.
I know. All right.
We're probably making up for it on the honeymoon. So if they didn't.
Should we talk about it?
I don't know.
With
it's
Ben? No, should we talk about it with Ben when he comes back?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm dying to know. But I'm also so worried about asking. All right. Well, audience, hey, you let us know. Should we talk to Ben about his wedding night? All right. Well, we've got to wrap up here, but we do have one more headline I want to get to. Courtney Robertson, she turned down $150,000 to compete on Dancing with the Stars. Are you shocked by that, Peter?
I am shocked. Yeah, I feel like it would be a fun experience. I mean, I'd probably do it for less than that. But did she like explain anything why, or just like she just wasn't about it, I guess, huh?
She said, I had a meeting with them right after my season of The Bachelor. That was one thing that I would have loved to have done, was offered again, $150,000 plus tens of thousands of dollars for each week she remained on the show. But apparently Ben Flitnick, who she was engaged to at the time, didn't like the idea. He said, if you do it, you won't have a fiance.
What?
All right, Peter, how do you feel about that? What if that happened to you?
Well, I think that's BS. And I think, I mean, they're not together anymore.
No.
Correct. Yeah.
So now she really just lost $150,000 for no reason.
Yeah, no, that's a shame. I don't know why. If like I was in that position, that's such a cool opportunity, like a kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity. I don't know why he would have been anti that. I don't know. I think I would have been a little bit more supportive, but
maybe he was jealous. He didn't want her to get close to the partner because everybody always speculates about a romantic relationship between the partner. And also it's hard getting off of your season and then like going into like being so physically intimate with some other person and then having to do all those rehearsals and dedicate all the time with that person to that craft and not to your new fiance.
Totally. And you know, I mean, to look at it from both sides. Yeah. If this was right after their season, I totally get him probably wanting to maybe just have some more privacy and like focus on just the two of them and not really distractions. And this obviously would have caused that. So I could see that side of it. But if she was excited, like I put myself in his shoes. If like I had a fiance that was super excited and really wanted to, I would have been 100% behind her to do it. But it's a bummer.
Why weren't you asked to do Dancing with the Stars? I feel like most bachelors do get you. Were you never asked?
I was never asked.
You're bummed.
I'm not quite sure why ABC. I don't know. Maybe we'll never know, but it is what it is.
You and Ben are the only bachelors, I think, of recent. Oh, I guess Colton didn't do it either.
That's right. Well, mine, I guess, was with the pandemic. But no, they were still doing it. I don't know. I'd love to do it, but
it's like every other bachelor gets to do it, you know? Well, yeah. Your time may still come at some point.
You never know.
All right. Well, anything else you want to plug before we wrap this sucker up?
Nope. I got to get ready for my flight, head off to the airport. So it's been a treat.
All right. Well, go pack your mini bag. Do you get to come home tonight?
I do. Yeah. It'll be a late night. Go off to Detroit and back. And then, got some days off. I head back to LA, spend Thanksgiving with the fam. That'll be fun. Excited for that. And yeah, just really excited for the book coming out. So.
All right, guys. Repeat it one more time, Ben. Ben. Wow. Talk about being used to signing off in a certain way. Peter, how do they get the book again? Real quick, guys, the website?
If you're interested, I have it linked on my Instagram, Pilot Pete, but theadventuresofpilotpete.com. You can go to it. Books are shipping out November 23rd. You get a signed copy from that website and let the adventures begin.
Very nice. Okay, this is how we sign off here. We say, I've been so-and-so. It's very strange, but it's a tradition.
Okay.
So I will see you next week, guys. Love you so much. Until then, I've been Ashley.
And I've been not Ben, but I've been Peter. And it's been great being with you guys. So
thank you. Thank you so much.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.